This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal mursaleen nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salama tasliman kathira. Brothers and sisters, before I start inshallah ta'ala, I want to mention two important things. The first, which is the importance of having the correct intention. And the second matter, it's a reality check of the importance of knowledge. Brothers, you probably heard the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِنْيَاتِ, maybe a million times. And inshallah ta'ala, for a million and one time, we're going to mention it again due to its importance. Due to its importance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِنْيَاتِ. أي لا يقبل أي عمل إلا بنية. No action is accepted except with the correct intention. I'm sure none of us want to be sitting here week in, week out, or for maybe months and years, coming to the masajid, attending a lecture, attending a lesson, and then we come on يوم القيامة and our actions are like هباء منثورة, like scattered particles. Because depending on a person's intention, whether it comes in a positive manner or a negative manner, and depending on what he intends, it solely depends on what? His intention, as to whether his action gets accepted. All this juhud, this striving, this effort that he puts into attending a lesson, from the moment he comes out of his house, leaves his family, leaves his work, whatever he's doing to come and attend a lesson that is taking place in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he has absolutely nothing. Why? Because maybe his intention was incorrect. Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, أَنِّيَّةُ شَرْطٌ لِسَائِلِ الْعَمَلِ بِهَا الصَّلَاحُ وَالْفَسَادُ لِلْعَمَلِ. That the condition for every single action and all of the actions is the intention. بِهَا الصَّلَاحُ وَالْفَسَادُ لِلْعَمَلِ. It either brings about rectification, or it is the reason why this action becomes corrupted or nullified. Every single ibadah that we do, whether it is salat, whether it is zakat, whether it is siyam, whether it is praying in the night, whether it is following the janazah, brothers and sisters, whether we believe it or not, if the intention is not there, or there's another gharah, there's another purpose, and when we are doing a particular action, wallahi, we're getting nothing. We're wasting our time. And I'm going to bring a few examples, inshallah ta'ala. When we're attending this lesson, are we attending it because everybody else is doing it? I'm only attending because why? Maybe my brother or my sister or my friends are attending, and this is the reason why I'm attending as well. Even though it might not be, or it might not look to be a very big, major matter, look what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about a person that says a similar statement, or he believes a similar statement. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us a man that is put in his grave. He said, "Inna al-'abda idha wudi'a fi qabri wa tawalla 'anhu ashabuhu wa innahu la yasma'u qara'a 'alayhim." When a person is put in the grave, when a servant is put in the grave, and the people that came and put him in the grave, they turn away, they go back. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرَعَنِ عَلِمْ. He begins to hear the movement of their sandals. فَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ. Two angels come to him, two angels come to this person. فَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ. فَيُقْعِدَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولَ فِي هَذَا رَجُلٍ. They come to him, they sit him down, and they say to him, what did you used to say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about this man? He will start saying, La adareitu wa la tadait. No, sorry. He will start saying, La adri, la adri. Ha ha ha. Ha. He starts saying, La adri. I don't know. Then the malaika will say to him, La adareitu wa la tadait. And then he will reply back and he will say, Kuntu aqulu ma yaqulu nas. I used to say what the people used to say as well. What would happen to him? فَيُضْرَبُ بِمَطْرَقَةٍ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. بين أذنيه. He will be hit with an iron hammer between his two ears, in the middle of his forehead. He'll be hit with an iron hadid, an iron hammer. فيصيح صيحة يسمعها إلا الثقلين. Everything hears him shouting. He shouts a shouting where everybody hears it, except for the jinn and the ins. What did this person say? كنت أقول ما يقول الناس. I used to say just what the people are saying. How similar is this to when a person will be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah, why did you used to fast? And he replies back and says, I only fasted because everybody else was fasting. I only prayed because everybody else was praying. And I only did this action because people would maybe look down at me. And because of this, I said it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bil munasabah, I'm going to mention this other hadith as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو لا أن تدافنوا لدعوت الله أن يسمعكم من عذاب القبر. Had it not been that you are going to be buried in the grave, I would have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you hear what takes place in the qabr. The severe punishment, a person being hit between his forehead, and he shouts a shouting like he did. So the whole point is, this statement, I'm only doing something because everybody else is doing it, it's a problem. Or are we now attending, or are we learning the knowledge? Why? Because we want to dispute and we want to boast about it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in hadith, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُبَاهِ بِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Whoever learns the knowledge because he wants to boast. And he came in another narration, لِيُمَارِ بِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Or he wants to dispute. You know how someone comes, huh? He wants to show off his knowledge. He starts asking questions in order to maybe get one at the alim, or the scholar, or the sheikh, or the talib al-ilm. He wants to try and pick out loopholes in this person's knowledge. Or لِيُمَارِ بِهِ السُّفَهَا. Or he wants to dispute with the foolish ones. Or يُرِيدُ أَن يَصْرِفَ وُجُوهَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ. Or he wants to turn the people's face towards him. And the people to say, this guy, mashallah, he knows knowledge. Or he's got something with him. He knows what he's talking about. And that's his intention. Pay attention here. يُرِيدُ. He wants to make the people turn to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَهَنَّمُ. Because of this reason, even though, pay attention here, he went out to seek knowledge, طيب. And his knowledge, or his pursuing of knowledge, was with an incorrect intention. The asal of his khair, he came out to what? To do a good thing. But he started being mixed and matched with what? A factor that destroyed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not enter him into the Jannah. Or for maybe dunya purposes. It came in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُصِيبَ بِهِ عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يَجِدْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever now learns the knowledge in order to what? To seek a offer from the dunya, this person will not smell the Jannah. So the matter is serious. How many people do you find? They might go to Medina University, or to Makkah University, or the University of Riyadh, or any other place. His sole objective is to what? To get a certificate. To get a certificate with his name on it, and then what does he do? He gets a job with it. It's taken seriously. His certificate is taken into consideration. Na'am. Even the people that are going, if their intention is not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, into her Umar. He gets nothing. If anything, it will have a negative effect on a person's life. And also the positive impact and a negative impact due to a person's intention, just because he wants to do something. Let me bring another example now. For when a person takes or borrows money, I want to now borrow money from the brother Abu Musa. When I'm borrowing that money, I want to do him over. I want to give that money back. Who's the only one that knows this? Me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my intention of this. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَخَذَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَدَّاءَهَا أَدَّى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Whoever takes, borrows the money of a person, but he wants to pay it back, this person he wants to pay it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him pay it back. Just because this person intended to do what? To pay the money back. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ إِتْلَافَ أَتْلَفَهُ اللَّهُ. And the one that borrows money and he wants to do that person over, the one that he's taking money from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do him over as well. And it could be the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys him. Not only will a person's action not be accepted, but in this hadith he clarifies to us what? Depending on your intention, what a positive impact and what a negative impact it can have on a person's life. And the actions and the examples, they go on and on and on. Also with marriage couples, something that is relevant to all of us. Now, sometimes you find a couple, the husband, he wants to get rid of his wife, but he tries to look for every possible reason. And the wife thinks he actually wants to get back with her. Or sometimes both of them, they want to get back with each other, but at the same time they have a hidden agenda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us in the Quran, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. If you ever fear that there's a problem, a dispute between the man and the wife, then there's a third party. If the third party notices this, huh? فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. Let's just say there's two, huh? I see my cousin and his wife. There's a problem between them. And I notice this. I have to take out, huh? A hakam, a hakim, someone from her family and also his family. I need to bring them up to try and rectify this problem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفَّقَ اللَّهُ بَيْنْهُمَا. If they want to rectify the matters between them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them rectify it. That's if they want. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. The intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give islah and rectify the matter between them if they want it. The importance of the intention. And I will mention this last point. And how this matter, it goes past many of us without noticing the importance and also what it can bring into our lives. The reward, the amount of reward that we can be getting on a day-to-day basis, but it's just surpassing us. And it's only ourselves to blame. Why? Because we've decided, our own choice, not to actually go out and seek this knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings us an example. إِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. A man that spends, buying the food for the house, buying the clothes for the house, the milk, the butter, the bread, never does a person spend. And when he spends, he wants the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa ujirta alayha, except that you get rewarded for it. Hatta al-luqmata allati taj'alu fi fami imratik. Even the food portion that you put in the mouth of your wife, if you do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the difference between a guy that just buys on a day-to-day basis and this person? The intention. He does that for what? He wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this, he gets rewarded for every portion that he sticks in his baby's mouth, or in his wife's mouth, or his parents. He buys the bread, he buys the milk, and the things that we need to have on a day-to-day basis, the daily necessities. How many of us, we just do it because we have to do it, it's an obligation upon us. We have to do it because otherwise, nothing is going to work. If only we connected that and linked that to a correct intention, the positivity it can have on a person's life. And the second important matter, and before I move on to the said brothers, wallahi, it's something that we need to time and time again, in matter of intention. Time and time again, we need to ask ourselves, whatever we do, why are we doing it? A common question, have we ever asked ourselves? When we're attending a lesson, or when we're trying to help someone, am I doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, or am I doing it for someone else? Or am I doing it to show off? Am I doing this in order to please my parents only? Otherwise he's going to think bad of me when I'm praying a prayer. And when a person constantly reflects on this, you find that his soul becomes rectified. As many of the ulama have mentioned, and the more pure a person he gets, the more rectified this person becomes, and the more closer a person becomes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the correct intention for every single matter. This hadith is azim that we tend to hear all the time. Min jawami' al-kalim, innama al-a'malu binniyat. That we hear all the time. Imam Ahmad and other Imam, they said, it is one of the hadith that the whole religion evolves around. Min qawa'id al-kubra, from the great principles and foundations of our religion. Because no matter what we do, we've been created for one purpose, sah? One purpose to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. If this is our main purpose, and when we do try to fulfill our main purpose, we started with an incorrect manner. And the knee is always outside the ibadah, that's what a shaft is. Nothing is being accepted. It's as if there is no presence of us doing these kind of actions. It's as if, for example, just imagine it, everybody's praying and there's a hole in the saf. Why? Because your thing is not being accepted. It's as if there is no presence of you. And the second important matter, brothers, it's a reality check, wallahi, to me firstly, and to my brothers and sisters secondly, is the importance of knowledge. You find, ikhwani, wallahi, and it's a problem that many of us we suffer from, is how we are so indulged into this dunya. We chase after what? Dollars and pounds. We've heard this statement before, you find a lot of our shabab, they've got this kind of mentality, they put on Facebook, they put on Twitter, the statement of this jahil individual, get money or die trying. It's our whole main objective in this dunya. And that's the only thing that we're chasing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time, He tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I never created the jinn and the ins, mankind, the human being and also the jinn, except for one purpose, to worship me, and that's it. The doctora that we have, me being a professor, or me being an engineer, or a doctor, having a degree in this, having a master's, wallahi on yawm al-qiyamah, it is going to come to no benefit whatsoever. And brothers, I'm not trying to put down anyone that's a doctor, or anyone that has a degree. I personally, myself, I'm studying a degree at the moment. And why are we chasing the dunya? Why? It's because we want to make money. Simply because we want to have a life, we want to get a nice job. For no other reason. And little do we remember the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave us the answer for every single matter. Every single matter that we need in order to get salvation, in order to get success, even in our exams. Even in our exams. He told us it. And I'm going to give you, inshallah ta'ala, a solution to many of our problems that we have in one hadith. And we can contemplate upon it. And we ask ourselves, why am I going through all this stress when I can be doing something else at the same time and giving precedence and also importance to it? Wallahi, brothers, don't get the wrong impression. I'm not telling you to leave your education. I'm not telling you to leave your university. I'm not telling you to leave your education. All I'm saying, wallahi, we need to give priorities. After this hadith, wallahi, it will become clear to you. What am I doing? Where is my life heading? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, "Man kanat ad-dunya hammahu, farraq Allahu alayhi amra." Whoever's dunya is the main purpose. Whoever's dunya is the main purpose. Farraq Allahu alayhi amra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will split his matters. His affair will become split up. وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put poverty between his eyes. So what's the first one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will split his matters, his affair. Second point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put poverty between his eyes. For what? Making the dunya his main objective. وَلَمْ يَأْتِي مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And nothing comes to him from the dunya except that which is written for him. So if you, it was written for you to be a poor person, nothing is going to come to you except what? That which has been written for you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the cure. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةِ نيته جمع الله له أمره جمع الله له أمره. And whoever makes the akhirah his main intention, his main purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring his affairs together. وجعل غناه في قلبه. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put richness in his heart. وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة. And the dunya will come to him being dragged. Things that you're not expecting, whether it is money, whether it's a car, whether it is clothes, all these matters will come to you. I'm not saying to go sit in the masjid and just read Quran all day long. Rather, give priority to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learning your religion. Why is this dunya? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Ad-dunya mal'una, mal'una ma fiha illa dhikrullah." This dunya is cursed. And every single thing in this dunya is cursed as well, except for a few matters. Dhikr Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or alima or muta'allima. And someone that learns his religion. And someone that goes and teaches his religion. So if I can seek knowledge, if I can give importance to my deen, the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me for, and everything else comes to the side, is on the side. Why do I need to give 10, 15 hours a day to study? For what? In order to get a certificate. When maybe I can balance it out, or I can give more to my deen. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give me more. Why is this dunya mal'un? Why is it cursed? Because it busies the person from his main objective. How many times do we find we need to pray? We give the boss precedence. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm going to come back to it later. The adhan is being called, I'm stuck in something else. And I give precedence to that. And this is the reason why this dunya is cursed. It busies a person away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a problem that every single one of us, wallahi, I'm not trying to pick on anyone, rather it's a reminder for myself as well. That when I say something, I'm the first person that needs to apply it and think about it. Otherwise, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is either hujjah for you or against you. The Prophet tells us, من سلك طريقا يطلب به علما أو يلتمس به علما سهل الله به طريقا إلى الجنة. I'm sure most of us want to go to Jannah, and that's our main purpose. He tells us, whoever takes a path to going to seek knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his path much easier. It's simple as that. It all goes back to our intention. What are we doing? And is it fair? Brothers, we ask ourselves, is it fair? 15 hours. The amount that we revise for exams. The hours and the effort that we put in. But the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no presence to it. لا وجود لها. It's a very sad situation. It's a responsibility to every single one of us. In the last few, 2 months, I think I did this khutbah or this lecture at least maybe 7 times. Do we know the true meaning of Islam? Forget about knowing the fadail and the virtues of Qiyamul Layl or the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that we're living in today. The sad reality is that the only thing that we claim to be Muslims. And many of us, our youngsters, One time I did a survey, I stood outside the masjid and I started asking the kids, what is the meaning of Islam? Some of them they say peace, some of them say way of life, most of them we don't know. And the basic matter of our religion, which is al-Islam, the meaning of al-Islam, a lot of us we don't know. Every single one of us, wallah, is responsible for this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. Every single person is a shepherd. And every one of them is in charge of his flock. Think about it now. Wallah, if our state, our situation, we don't know the basics of our religion, then think about the kids that come after us. If we don't know, then how do you think our kids are going to be? And the kids that come after them, jeel, ba'da jeel, ba'da jeel, generation after generation after generation. Wallahi, don't be surprised if our children come up to us tomorrow and say, my girlfriend is waiting outside. Why? Because he doesn't know it's haram. Or I'm going to the club, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. From the basic muharramat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said to us, and it's a very, very sad situation. Scary hadith. يَدْرُسُ الْإِسْلَامُ كَمَا يَدْرُسُ وَشُثُّ حَتَّى لَا يُدْرَى مَا الصِّيَامُ وَلَا الصَّدَقَ وَلَا النُّسُكُ. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam, is going to fade away. Just like the color of our thobe. The thobe that we're wearing is going to fade away. The night trainers that we have. Sooner or later, what's going to happen? The more puddles it goes through, it's going to become what? It's going to rip up. Our clothes is only a certain time where we're going to be wearing it. It wears and it tears. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us an example. That the thobe, just like that, thobe which wipes away and fades away, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fade away. The people are not going to know hajj, wala sadaqah, wala siyam, and fasting they're not going to know as well. Think about yourselves, your wives, the children that come from your loins, and the children that come after them. If we don't know, then how do we expect in a million years for our kids to ever know? And they take us as an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Ma min ahadin yastar'i ila ra'iyya, yamutu yawma yamut wa huwa ghashun lahum." "Ma min ahadin yastar'i ila ra'iyya." Never did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place the responsibility upon anyone. And the day he dies, he hasn't given his children the correct advice. He hasn't taught them, he hasn't advised them, he hasn't made clear to them what the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The day when he dies as what? As a treacherous individual, someone that has deceived his children. Why? Because he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Jannah haram upon this individual. Most of us want wives, صح. We want children, we want all these matters. Is the joy of a person's eyes, the utter joy of his eyes. The wife, the children. When a person has children, we'll see how happy and how satisfied he becomes and the joy that enters into his heart. But do not let your kids become a hujjah alik, a plea against you. Why? Because you haven't fulfilled your exam, your obligation. And brothers, even though this is out of the topic, now, I felt like it was very, very important that we touch upon these two matters. Firstly, to rectify our intention, because otherwise we're not going to have anything. And also, in order to us to actually be patient upon what we're doing, is to know the virtues of knowledge. A person, he's either patient, ikhwani, he's either patient upon two things. Seeking knowledge or patient upon ignorance. We either choose to stay ignorant all our lives. And you have to be patient. Someone, he goes through so much anxiety when something happens to him and he doesn't know what to do. And he has to go through telling private matters, maybe something that happened between him and his wife, in matters that he would never ever discuss, he has to go ask the sheikh. And he'll go tell him. Why? Because he hasn't taken the time to go seek the knowledge. Ala kulli brothers, our objective is to connect ourselves and also our brothers to the classic scholars. And this is why I chose this book, Usul al-Sunnah lil-Imam al-Humaydi. The Imam al-Humaydi. And before I start, brothers, I want to mention one more quick thing. Imam al-Bukhari, chapter in Sahih. Bab Kitabat al-Ilm. Writing down knowledge. The chapter of writing down knowledge. Abu Huraira, who was Abu Huraira? Every single person, or the majority of us, we know who Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was. Someone that was known for memorization. He knew a lot of the hadith. Naam. He mentioned, he goes, ما كان أحد أكثر حديثا مني إلا ما كان من عبد الله بن عمر بن عاص. Nobody knew more hadith than me. Nobody knew more hadith than me, except for one person. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. Why? فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبُ وَلَا أَكْتُبُ. He used to write it down and I never used to write it down. That was before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abu Huraira, and then he became top of the Sahaba when it came to knowing the hadith, when it came to memorization, etc. You ask yourselves, brothers, the amount of lectures that we have attended over the years. How much do we remember from these lectures? But the guy that's written it down, the guy that's gone through the books and he's written down all the ma'lumat, he'll have it all there. He'll remember it. Why? Because he can go back to it all the time, he can revise it. So this was just a quick side benefit, inshallah ta'ala, hoping they can benefit every single one of us and we can, inshallah ta'ala, get the best out of these lessons that we plan to teach in the next few weeks. And they are important matters. They are from the fundamentals of our religion. The matter of al-aqidah. To believe these aspects. Because the shubahat, ikhwani, are much. You have two types of shubahat. Fitna to shubahat. Sorry, two types of fitna. Fitna to shubahat. The fitna when it comes to doubts. And fitna to shahwat. And also when it comes to desires, the fitna of desires. The first one is the most dangerous of the two. The more dangerous of the two. How many groups do we find today? How many groups do we find today? Every single one, he's got his own beliefs that he tries to push on another individual. Young people that believe there's a prophet called, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahmad, the Ahmadiyya, and they solely believe this, and they have their doubts regarding this. People that curse the Sahaba, he'll tell you Abu Bakr and Umar are kuffar. And they bring you, they bring you narrations where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from the apparent, looked like he oppressed Fatima radiallahu anha. How can he do this? How can he do this to the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And many other matters. People that don't believe in the Qadr, that which we are studying right now. The first chapter that we're going to be studying is the matter pertaining to Al-Qadr and the importance of it. And you'll find in this matter of Al-Qadr how it might improve our lives for the better. Because things are taking place around us all the time. And Qadr covers these kind of matters. A divorce that takes place, I lose my job, one of my kids died, how do I handle this situation? My father passed away yesterday, how do I handle it? Do I sit there and mourn and groan and go crazy and start ripping my clothes that I have? How do I deal with these kind of matters? So us learning these matters, wallahi, it's hayatun tayyiba. Some of us, we sometimes search, a lot of the kuffar, what do you see them doing? They go to the NHS. You find written there, how to become happy. You find them trying to take remedies, trying to take medicines in order to become happy. People that are rich, they have all the money in the world, he can go pick up anything he wants, but he's not happy. Because there is something very, very important in his life that is missing. It's not about having all the cars in the world, or having all the wives, and having all these dunya matters, and you think you're going to be happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us this. And it's free consultation. You don't need to pay anything. You don't need to stand in the line of the GP, to get all this stress or to become stress-free, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. First condition, whoever does good deeds, from the men and also the women, فَلَنُحِيَنَّهُ حَيَاتٍ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. And he's also a believer. So you have iman, and then you do good deeds, whether you're a man or a woman. فَلَنُحِيَنَّهُ حَيَاتٌ طَيِّبًا. And this person will give him a good life. Sometimes we wonder why all these people are stressed. They're going through depression. And here you have free consultation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can tell you that which is better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقْ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Do that and then you have it.